Les colloques du Collège de France.
It's a great pleasure to be here. I'd like to thank the organizers for having me. What I would like to do today is tell you a little bit about the work we are doing on mass chromosome X upregulation and human X chromosome inactivation. So mammals are diploid, meaning that each autosome is present in two copies, and there can be departure from the diploid states. Chromosomes can be lost or gained. So gene dosage, the number of chromosomes, can change. And this can have consequences, can lead to abnormal development or lethality. In fact, changes in gene dosage is a hallmark of multiple diseases, including cancer. So it's very important that we better understand the responses that cells may have to changes in gene dosage. So to study these processes, we are particularly interested in the X chromosome. And the hypothesis for the evolution of sex chromosome is that in mammals, cells have lost one of the two X chromosomes in males, leading to monosomy in males. And in the early 1930s, Müller, working in Drosophila, which has also lost one of two X chromosomes in males, has proposed that the single X chromosome in males is upregulated to mediate dosage compensation with diploid autosomes. And this hypothesis has been largely confirmed. A little later, Mary Lyon has proposed that in mammals, one of the two X chromosomes is inactivated in females in early development, which has also been largely confirmed. So based on these two observations, Susumu Ono proposed that during the evolution of sex chromosomes and the gene dosage compensation mechanism in mammals, there was first the evolution of X upregulation in males to balance X-linked gene expression with females, which also led to two upregulated X chromosomes in females, which was then the evolutionary pressure to evolve X inactivation in females. And so we end up with one active X chromosome per cell in both females and males, and a balance with autosome. So we now know that X chromosome inactivation is developmentally regulated in mouse. X inactivation is induced in the preimplantation embryo and then reversed in the naive epiblast, and then random X inactivation happens afterwards. We now know that anytime X inactivation takes place in early mouse development, the other allele is upregulated. So, but how X chromosome upregulation is controlled is still unclear. We also know that in mice, XIS is the master regulator of X inactivation, and its expression in cis leads to chromosome-wide silencing. But until now, we assume that XIS is required for the establishment of X chromosome inactivation in humans, but this remains to be tested. So, The lab of Edith Hurd, Claire Rougeol, and many others has shown that different species use different strategies to initiate dosage compensation mechanisms. And in humans, in the preimplantation embryo, there is no X inactivation. Both X chromosomes are active. XIS is expressed on the active X chromosome, but present in a dispersed configuration. And we know that in the fetus, later on, XIS is expressed only from one allele as a compact cloud and overlaps with the inactive X chromosome. But because we don't have access to the human post-implantation embryo, we still do not know precisely when X inactivation is initiated in early human development. So I'm showing here a diagram of the day 14 human embryo, and I want to point out in particular to these green cells here, the extraminic mesoderm, which we will come back to. So To study dosage compensation, pluripotent stem cells have been an invaluable tool, and in particular, they can mimic the species-specific strategies for dosage compensation. So not recently, OLAB has shown that mouse pluripotent stem cells have two active X chromosomes that do not engage in dosage compensation. They're expressed at normal levels, unlike previously thought. There is no X upregulation when both X chromosomes are active. However, losing one of the two X chromosomes in mouse pluripotent stem cell leads to upregulation. So here's the data. This is allelic resolution, single cell RNA sequencing. When both X chromosomes are active, each allele is expressed in a comparable manner as autosomes. But when one of the two X chromosomes is lost, either the paternal or the maternal, then the remaining allele is upregulated. I should mention it's not all genes that are upregulated. It's about 40% of the genes. Now, recent advances have enabled to derive human naive pluripotent stem cells, meaning that we can also model pre-implantation human embryogenesis. And as Cerebel mentioned, naive human pluripotent stem cells have two active X chromosomes. They expressed exist, but exist is in a dispersed configuration that doesn't silence. And emerging evidence from multiple labs have suggested that differentiating naive human pluripotent stem cells to extraembryonic trophoblast lineage may induce the establishment of X inactivation. But it still remains incompletely characterized, and whether extraembryonic mesoderm cells obtained by differentiation from naive pluripotent stem cells undergo X inactivation is also unclear. So I want to tackle two questions today. The first is, how is X chromosome upregulation controlled? And the second is, how can we model X chromosome inactivation in humans? And in the first part, I will tell you that partial X chromosome loss is compensated by X chromosome upregulation at the RNA and protein level. And in the second part, we'll see that human X chromosome inactivation can be established de novo by naive to extraembryonic cell fate induction. And we'll see that EXIST plays a role in this process. So how is X chromosome upregulation controlled? To tackle this question, we made two hypotheses. In the first hypothesis, we posited that there might be an X chromosome upregulation center, meaning that if we delete one region on one of the two X chromosomes in mouse ESLs with two active X chromosomes, this may lead to chromosome-wide upregulation on the other allele. And in the other hypothesis, we posited that maybe if we delete one region on one of the two X chromosomes, this might be compensated in trans on the other allele, but specifically within that region. And I will show you results suggesting that this is hypothesis two is really the model that is happening in cells. So this is a great collaboration with Jos Grybner's lab. So we realized that we had comparable data, and this is a case for encouraging everyone to talk to one another and collaborate when they have similar data, and this is a great example to that. I'm really grateful to Jos for that. So what we did is we took mouse pluripotent stem cells with two active X chromosomes and deleted one of the two X, large fragments on one of the two X chromosomes. So we had three deletions. Jos's lab has comprehensively deleted, made tens of deletions. And we subjected the cells to allele-specific single cell or bulk RNA-seq, and can now analyze the impact of deleting one piece of a chromosome on gene expression on the other allele. So when we delete one piece on one chromosome and analyze gene expression in trans outside of the deleted area, very little happens. So here's the XX control and XO control where we do see upregulation, but in the deleted lines, if we look outside of the deleted area, not much happens. So this is not really supporting the X chromosome upregulation center hypothesis, and we had similar results for all the lines that we examined. However, when we delete one large fragment on one of the two active X chromosomes in Marcia cells and then examine gene expression within the deleted region in the opposite allele, then we see significant upregulation. So we conclude, and this we obtain similar results for many deletions. So we conclude from these experiments that mouse pluripotent stem cells can not only count the number of X chromosomes they have, they can sense when a specific fragment is deleted and adapt gene expression by dosage compensation, by X chromosome upregulation on the other allele. This is just not at the RNA level. We have also done proteomics analysis. What I'm showing here is protein levels normalized to the copy number of X chromosomes. So what you can see is that in a male or an XO genotype where there is only one active X chromosome, protein levels per X chromosome are higher than in XX females. And if we do the same analysis in the deleted cell lines, we also see upregulation at the protein level, specifically within those regions. So what I've told you so far is that partial X chromosome loss is compensated by X chromosome upregulation within the deleted regions. And we think this has significance to help explain why X chromosome monosomies are the only viable monosomies in mice and humans. And we've also identified histone modifications that may help explain these phenomena. Now, I just want to take a minute to propose an alternative hypothesis for the evolution of sex chromosome dosage compensation in mammals that takes into account all the available data. So it starts with the evolution of X chromosome upregulation first, as a result of loss of the X chromosome in males, just like Hono proposed. But unlike the usual interpretation of Hono's hypothesis, we have little evidence for two upregulated X chromosomes in females. And contrary to previous assumptions, recent data shows females with two active X chromosomes actually do not engage in X chromosome upregulation. So instead, we would like to propose that X inactivation evolved to confer a selective advantage to females rather than to resolve the two upregulated X chromosome. And then once X inactivation takes place in a cell, then the other X chromosome is upregulated. But X upregulation does not happen in the XAXA state. So I look forward to discussing this with everyone, and I'd like to switch the second part on human X inactivation. So the question that we wanted to ask is, can we establish de novo X chromosome inactivation using human naive pluripotent stem cells and exploit this system for mechanistic studies? So we have used differentiation of naive cells to trophoblast stem cells and extraminic mesoderm cells and comprehensively characterized the X chromosome. And we find that all of the X-linked genes that we have examined by RNA FISH have what we see is a clear switch from biallelic X-linked gene expression to monoallelic X-linked gene expression that is diagnostic of X inactivation. This is the work of Amitesh Panda, a fantastic PhD student in my lab, with Leo Carrillo, a PhD student in Claire Rouge's lab, as well as Jean-François. We met a great collaboration with Claire Rouge's lab. So we have also examined EXIST. I only have time to show a little bit of the data, but we have examined many different levels of molecular regulation of the X chromosome. So here we do RNA FISH for EXIST. And what we see is that we can recapitulate to some extent what happens in the embryo. So I'm going to show an image. So this is a super resolution imaging. We're looking at the nucleus of a naive human pluripotent stem cells. And now we're going to see in magenta EXIST. And this is the EXIST cloud, and then the individual EXIST foci. And you can see there is spreading of EXIST outside of the X compartment. So this recapitulates the spreading that happens in a pre-implantation embryo development. However, if we now look at the nucleus of an extraminic mesenchymal cell that has been obtained by differentiation, we have a different situation. Exist now forms a highly compact cloud, and the volume of the Exist cloud is much reduced, and Exist spreads much less outside of the compartment of the X chromosome. So we next wanted to ask, what is the impact of depleting Exist during differentiation? We use the system that Charabel has just introduced. So we remove Exist, deplete Exist, and then induce differentiation. And we find that differentiation still takes place. We can still induce extraminic cell identity. However, upon passage, and in all three clones analyzed, the cells die, suggesting that Exist might be important for a proper for healthy to make healthy extraminic cells in human. And when we examine X chromosome inactivation by RNA FISH, we see that in the absence of Exist, cells fail to induce the switch from biallelic to monoallelic X gene expression, and by RNA-seq, we also have no X inactivation. So this suggests that Exist is indeed required for the establishment of X inactivation in early human development. So this is the conclusion. We can now induce and study the establishment of X inactivation in a human context. We find Exist is required not only for the establishment of X chromosome inactivation, but we think for the proper homeostasis of extraminic cells in human. And we think that we now have a platform where we can test the molecular basis of X inactivation. And I want to finish by also mentioning, like Charabel, that now we are very excited to also use stem cell-based embryo models, blastoids, to examine X chromosome states and the role of Exist in early human development. So I want to summarize what I said so far. In the first part, we saw that partial X chromosome loss is compensated by X chromosome upregulation within the deleted region in mouse pluripotent stem cells. And then the second part, we saw that Exist is required for the establishment of X inactivation in human extraminic lineages, and also important for the proper homeostasis of the human extraminic lineage. So with that, I want to thank all of the students, postdocs that have done the work, and fantastic collaborators. And I want to thank everyone for your attention.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.